infinite creator, ubiquitous, unending energy, always in gratitude and ever in awe. However massive this is to the mind and however small we feel, we recognize we are a significant part of all of this. There's a great appreciation for our being here in this time of transition, being witness to the turning of our worldwide and interplanetary family, and doing our part in alchemizing the material and the spiritual. To do this, our tasks continue, focused on creator energy and heart-centered. So let us keep our connection to our higher self in mind while we conduct our divinely inspired actions. And we ask for your continued grace in all that we do. Let it be so. And so it is.
Was impressed by that because I was all set to sign up with David Strait's method. And then I heard about Anna von Wright. I wasn't clear at the time that he was making the connection between the two. But then when I got on to Destry's site, there was a part there that said, Anna von Wright, in her article 526, clearly admits that she did a blood ceremony. Then I got into the article, and it was several pages long, and I read it. And of course, Anna is saying it in a way that sounds conveniently well-intended, but clearly, it was a satanic ritual with the church, and she was making an oath that was basically for the better good, but her idea of the better good is certainly not what we have in mind. So she was just doing a whole bunch of skullduggery, and I went, boom, that's it. If Anna von Wright and David Strait are affiliated with each other, I sure don't want to go down that path.
Yeah. We can't hear you, Charlie. You're muted.
We do have some members who are in the assembly, in Anna's assembly. In fact, Bobby and Daryl and Dave have all been and still are in Anna's. I don't know if Dave is, but I know Daryl and Bobby both are.
Daryl and Sue also.
And Sue. Yeah. So, you know, these are decisions we get to make. They're our own decision and who we follow. And like we just were talking about on our action committee meeting just before we all jumped on here, is that, you know, we're free to make whatever decisions and do whatever we want, so long as we know who we are. And we're men and women on the soil on Oregon, flesh and blood, men and women. So I don't choose to name myself anything. I don't choose to call myself a sovereign or a state national or a national anything. I'm just me. I'm a woman. That I know. And I live on the land and soil, Oregon. So I don't need to claim anything more. And I'm of my creator. So, you know, all of the verbiage, all of the labeling, titles. I mean, to me, titles are titles. They don't mean anything. You're like, I'm not an anything. I'm not an artist. I'm not a landscaper. I'm not a cook. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm none of that. And yet I do those things, but that's not, I don't need to be labeled. So nurse, doctor, any of it doesn't matter, because that is really, labels really establish hierarchy. We're not about that. We're about equality and freedom.
Well, the question still remains, are we going to form an assembly?
We are an assembly.
That's going to be a part of this thing that Destry is talking about.
I'm not. I never was.
I looked at it and I said I'd look at it and I reject it.
Why?
Because he doesn't tell the truth. He's just like Anna. And in a short paragraph that Charlie paraphrased from what he said, he made three critical errors. And you just can't do that. He doesn't.
What were they?
Good one, Farwell.
Sorry.
I'm trying to dredge it up, and it's not dredging very well.
Look at the Skype chat that you and I had. It's
yeah, I know, but I don't really know how to do that either, Laura.
Oh.
His third point was they were going to go back and correct the Constitution of 1871, which still leaves you in color of law for 10 years. So why would we want to do that?
What I got was that he was saying from 1861 to 1871.
I didn't hear a single thing he said or Charlie dropped that said 1861 to 1871.
I did.
Okay. What did he say happened during those 10 years?
Well, he mentioned the Labor Code, which happened in 1861.
Yes.
And that it was finally capped off in 1871 with a further effort to remove our sovereignty.
Wrong. That's wrong. Now, if you go on our chat and you look it up, we wrote this up a year or so ago. The Army Heritage site, and I dropped the phone number in it, tells anybody that calls that the Lieber Code was alive and well and updated and in the Army's plans in 2015.
Mm-hmm. That's in our drill packet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how does that fit with what he said, Farwell?
Well, I think he said that it was the Lieber Code was alive and well until a certain recent date, if I am not incorrect. Now, the thing is, above all that, let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Is it true that we need 3/4 of the states
no.
to say no?
And they don't even know the proper number of states, Farwell.
Okay. Tell me how many.
There are 33 states. And that's in the de jure law form. That
us being the 33rd.
Yes. People have argued that Kansas is a state, and I reject that. But we know that since 1861 in March, we've been under color of law and martial law and Lieber Code and whatever the hell else you want. However, these people that know about the Lieber Code and talk about it, talk about martial law, why don't they do what it is obvious to do that we found and we read and we did? And it says so right in their documents, to eliminate or nullify martial law, all you have to do is have a civilian court of record and do it. So there it is. We did it and they don't. They're just talking about it. And they're going to continue to talk about it, just like National Liberty Alliance, when I got into this in 2014, was doing the same thing then that they're doing now. And they haven't gotten anywhere. They're still in the de facto, just like Richard Mack, the sheriff. He's in the de facto. The de facto Supreme Court that is bogus told him that he could be a constitutional sheriff, and he thinks that's legitimate. How do you deal with shit like that? I don't know how.
Well, the other problem is that so many people refer to the Constitution as if it's one document and it has always been that one document, and that is not the truth. Go ahead, Farwell.
So are you of the mind that we just have to deal with this state by state, and that we will do our own work getting our own sheriffs and doing our own converting of the law on our own?
Yes, and then once we have the state together, we can assemble again in Congress, right? Until we get the state, there's no Congress.
Yeah, first you have to get a state. And you get a state before you get a county. And that's one of the places that the Michigan and Ohio people go wrong. You do not need counties. Washington County, when they made Oregon a state, ran all the way to Idaho. So what are counties? They're subdivisions of the state. The state is what has party to the Constitution. Counties don't make any difference at all.
Are we going to arrest individuals or not?
Don't answer.
Farwell.
I want to talk.
Cynthia has been waiting to talk. So I yield, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, Ron, you hit upon it, what we talked about earlier. So when we became the Republic of the United States of America, we were a bunch of individual, basically countries, you guys. We call them states, but we really are countries. If you look how the European Union set up, the Russia.
We're a nation unto ourselves.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, technically our counties are states within our countries. But my point about this is that we became the Republic of the United States of America because the states came together and decided it, not at a national level going down. They're trying to do the same shit as far as I can see as what our government is doing to us from a national level down. And that's not it. We can't take our nation back unless we can get our states back. We have to have our states because we started with the state. We didn't start at the national level. We started at a state level. I yield.
Okay, that Farwell. Chick knows what she's talking about.
So Farwell, did you want to jump in again?
Sorry.
All right. So are we intending to go the route of arresting with these sheriffs? Are we arresting judges? Because he strongly said, no, you don't do that. You deal with getting the collective to vote collectively. No, we're not interested in your de facto-ness. Goodbye.
Cynthia has her hand up. Ron, do you want to answer that? There's Cynthia.
You answer it, but I'm going to go at it from a spiritual standpoint of why I'm even here.
Go ahead.
Okay. You go, Ron. You answer first.
Yeah.
And then I'll go, because I know this part. I won't forget this part. So go ahead. I won't forget it.
Farwell, we may wind up doing all those things that we don't want to do. We may. Who knows? We don't. But we do know that bad people need to be arrested, tried, and incarcerated. We know that. At this particular time, we don't choose to do that. Just like we don't choose to find people in contempt, because if you find them in contempt, you have to send the marshal over and arrest their ass and put them in jail. You have to punish them for contempt. If you don't find them in contempt, then you don't have to do that. So we're skirting that as best we possibly can. However, there could be a scenario where one of our deputies finds himself in a position where he has to arrest somebody. And the proper thing to do when you're arresting somebody in that condition is to remove the person to the nearest facility to hold them and put that person into that facility. They do it all the time. Sheriffs put people in cops' jails, and federals put people in county jails, and they use each other's facilities all the time to hold somebody for 3 days. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go there, Farwell. We really don't. But
I know,
just like nobody else, not even Michael School or Brian, last name won't come anyhow, of the militia, not one of them have filed the paperwork with their state claiming that they are the Second Amendment well-regulated militia, except Oregon. We're the only one. All of the other militias have not bothered to do that. I don't know why.
So after the holding, then whose hands do our detainees fall into?
After what?
So,
Cynthia, take this one.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. We're done. We're done with that
Cynthia
part.
Cynthia has
has
a spiritual perspective.
I want to speak from a different perspective, you guys. So this is an assignment for me from God. First, the Republican Party. That's special. Really special. And then second, the assembly. I had to see what was going on within the party. I didn't really understand what was happening, but to understand, to even have a clue when I became part of the assembly. When I asked the Lord, why am I here? This isn't, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I would be doing anything like this. And I went from like ministry with a large ministry to this. And he goes, because the enemy has used the law to bind up your state, your nation, and the world, worldwide. And he goes, and the assembly is going to do it to undo it. So that's one of the parts, okay? Because we are using their stuff against them. We're using what's happened in history and what they've done, and we're using it actually against them to gain what we need. That's the first part. The second thing is that I have seen for years, since right after I first came here, that when I was asked to stay in this city, Portland, that this is the epicenter of the next wave that's going to hit this the West Coast and then the nation. And out of Oregon is going to flip everything. The state of Oregon, and we are there. I anticipate this. Seriously, you guys, I see the Lord like coming in and using the assembly, because I used to was more than willing to pick up my guns and use them. And then one day I realized I don't want to do that. I could shoot someone, but oh my Lord, I don't want to live with what it would be like afterwards. And so this is the easier, softer way from that. And when the people, after this next election, I think that all hell is going to break loose. And I've been out there talking about the assembly to all the patriot groups and with Mark Tillman. And, you know, I mean, I actually was able to get in and under. And I feel like there's so much more to tell other people, but there's enough people all over this state now that knows who we are and has heard what we've done. And I've handed out enough of our dockets and stuff on trials and straight to like Brazen. And anyway, that they know, you guys. And sooner or later, the people will arise, because my words to them, I've had the head of election integrity, Don Powers, say, I believe in what you're doing and I know it's the truth. He goes, but where's your teeth? You have no teeth. How are you going to enforce it? And I said, you're the teeth. You're the enforcers. And when the people are wise, I said, something will happen that will cause you guys to use what we've done to enforce, to overturn this government in this state.
And one of the things that I said to our quantum call was that we have the documents to prove exactly what the National Assembly is going for in terms of, you know, establishing a voice of the people with all the different assemblies assembled. But here on Oregon, we've been doing all this work. We have it. We have called them out. We've noticed them. They've acquiesced. So we're ready for the public, the greater Oregon public, to act on the groundwork that we've been laying for the last 3 years plus. Laura, your hand.
I hear you and very clearly, very clearly. I heard a couple different things in this call this morning. This whole thing about being American national that I don't know if I really need to do anything about, because we all don't know it, but we are already a constitution republic. Anyway, what I heard there was that it was going to take months. It's long process to get to the completed part of each state. I can't see they have not shared if the assembly they're looking to do is like a Congress, is like what we're doing here in Oregon. I can't see that part because it's not been said. Anybody hear anything? What happens then when they get their 38? What do they do? Are they going to become a law body? I mean, a lawful body? What in the world is that about? So then my question is, how can this hurt us? It can't. We still do what we're doing and strong. Okay. I yield.
Ron first and then Cynthia. First.
And Cynthia has a question up too. So.
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
They're diminishing us on Oregon. That's what they're doing, and that's what they're doing that's wrong. You're in a quandary, Laura, and dealing with stuff that's been brought up, and you shouldn't be. You should be exactly clear that the things that they are saying that are wrong are a detriment to us. Just like everything Anna says that's wrong is a detriment to us. You can't be in both at the same time. It's just not feasible. They are totally in the de facto. They are calling out all kinds of de facto laws, rules, regulations, and everything else to substantiate their point, and they're making my point by doing it, that you cannot be in the de jure if you are doing all of this work in the de facto, just like Dave. He wanted to be in the de facto and the de jure. That's perfectly okay. Step back and forth, but know what you're doing. And I yield.
Thank you, Cynthia, but Cynthia has a question in the chat. Yeah. Is our Jural Assembly not an assembly? Can the Jural, is that the JA Jural Assembly not be a General Assembly? What, a General Assembly as well? She's asking. We are a General Assembly. We're also a Jural Assembly.
I disagree on the General Assembly. We don't have General Assembly hopes and aspirations. That's what Anna and John Durash and Keith Livingsway, that's what they have. That's what they're doing. And I don't see that. I yield.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Cynthia.
I'd like to speak in tune too.
Okay.
Let him.
Yeah, go ahead, William.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn off the fan here. Okay. You know, if you're not the proper assembly, you're not going to be anything in this on this land right here. The National Assembly can be in a National Assembly, and they can be off just like Hell's Angels or whatever other assembly there is out there. If they're not the assembly of the states, meaning Congress, they don't have a stand in this republic. Bottom line. That's the freaking facts. Because we have law already established from way back in the late 1700s. It's debatable on the years, but it's already been there. And we have to go back to that. We know when they went into sine die, and we know that that President Lincoln called Congress, which he did not have law to do. And then they started making color of law from that day forward. If we don't go back to that point right there, we don't have shit. I rest.
Thank you, William.
As well as the state. The state has to go back too.
Yep.
Now, I've heard a lot of buzz about there not actually being any election. Congress,
right?
Oh, wait a minute. Well, William and then Farwell. Finish up, William.
The state have to exist to call Congress. That's the only parties that can call Congress are the states themselves. I rest.
Thank you.
I've heard a lot of chit chat on Telegram, and I know that's not always a trustworthy source, but that there's not even going to be an election this November. Has anyone else heard that?
I have.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you that in this state, and now I'm talking from the Republican format, blah, blah, people's rights, grassroots stuff that I'm involved in too. So those people will arise. The people's rights and all of them, all the different groups, Take Back America, everything within the state, they will not set still for that, you guys. That's what's going to be the igniting spark, seriously. Because, you know, there's so much going on in the actual political realm right now within this state that it's like a keg of dynamite waiting for the match to go to it and go kaboom, which is what's going, that's what will actually help us, you know. Then they're going to want what we've done. They recognize it as truth, you guys. They do. But it's too far, you know, it's too far out of the realm. And the other thing that the Lord told me about all this is that you cannot fix evil, and our government is evil. It has to be destroyed and taken down all the way. Let's try to fix it. You know, we'll just get the right person in, and they're our saviors. That ain't it. I yield.
Right. Thank you, Cynthia. Ron, go ahead.
Wow.
You're going to top that?
No way to top that. But we have a real job that needs to be done, and it needs to be done. And Brandon did it for us in Lane County. Now we've got to do it in Marion County, Multnomah County, Clackamas County, and Washington County. And that's file those same papers that Brandon did. Mm-hmm. The same stuff that Charlie mailed UPO and RRR to those people. And we've got to take them out. And we've still got, even after we do Lane, and we've got 31 counties yet to do, guys.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing it.
Now, Ron, I understand you want a tour of the state.
No, I want somebody to do it. No, I want to put that off onto somebody else. I'm not capable of driving, so I'm not any good as a driver. I have all of these issues that people much younger and stronger don't have. And I would love to see all you youngsters jump in and do it, you know. Just imagine, let's say Anne, she's not here, so we can talk about her. So let's say Anne gets together with two buddies. Oh, that's Cindy, isn't it? Oh, shit.
No, so it's not Cindy. Cindy's
not one of them? Okay,
no,
good.
Cindy's in Baker City. Anne's so in Redmond.
If Anne gets together with two of her buddies and takes the documents to as many counties as is within an hour's drive of where she lives and files them, and we give her and the other two a stipend, buy them lunch and their gasoline, and we could do that all over the state, we could get this done. But
Here's the thing that's happening. You brought Anne up and Redmond. So specifically, she already has four members. And then as of last week, this last week's conversation, Stania already is hooked up with People's Rights, and she knows who Anne is, or Anne vice versa knows who she is. So they now have five people on Redmond. You guys, we're growing. And we are having a greater voice. And, you know, one of the thoughts that I recognized this last week, because people hold back out of fear or feeling that they're not, it's not theirs to do. Somehow they don't feel confident. They don't know enough or whatever. But the bottom line is, every single one of you who's here is a leader. The truth is, you're here, you're a leader, and you're the ones, and those of us who have been on these calls are the ones who are the enforcers, and we grow our numbers, and we speak out what's true and what we know, and if we're wrong, we call a meeting, and we talk about it, and we figure it out, and we move forward, and we also correct where correction is needed. So I want to thank you all for being on this call, because, you know, we did need some clarification, and we do need to be connected in clarity, not in confusion and diversion and deception. So I'm not making a judgment on anything or anyone by saying that. It's simply that, you know, we have to make our own personal decision and choose our path. And, you know, this has been a challenge for me, because today I felt like, oh my God, you know, I'm riding on two horses. I don't feel good about anything that I was feeling today, quite honestly, with all of this implosion, explosion, and kind of a quandary, you know, a lot of confusion got stirred up. And that's how it happens. You know, we have the decisions that we've made and the actions we've taken as an Oregon statewide general assembly, and we keep going, and we've had a lot of, I would consider, success by virtue of the fact that we always know we're guided, really, quite honestly, by our creator energy to know what it is that the next step is, and building on the steps before. So you know, fear forward, we just keep going. And you know, everyone makes the decision that fits for them. We're not telling anyone what to do or how to do it for them. We're just leading the way based on what we know for us, each of us. And we don't all agree in the assembly on all of this stuff. We have to hash it out. We have questions. I mean, today's a good example of it. So I appreciate everyone. I yield. Is there any more discussion we want to have tonight? It's a little after 8 o'clock.
I would like to say that if anybody, you know,
disagrees with what we're saying about these facts that we've said, 1861, whatnot, bring forth the evidence so that we can see it also, and then we can be corrected if we're wrong. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Farwell and Ron both had something to say. Farwell, go ahead.
And I just wanted to honor Dave Collage for all the hardships that he's been going through. And I actually think his case could be a great precedent. And I see his judge as maybe being approachable on all of this, getting him to go de jure. And so I actually want to write him a letter and say, you have an opportunity to be a hero, or you can go down in the annals of our new history books as being infamous for just being one of the de facto criminals. And I think he's on the fence. I'm feeling that he's on the fence somehow, from what I'm hearing from Dave.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's three groups of people on this planet, the good, the bad, and those in the middle. It's pretty much pretty even. And you can tell within a few minutes who's who. And I wrote him a personal letter. I had Cynthia take a look at it. And there's a couple of things that, we might want to remove. And Farwell took a look at it, said it was too long, but that's probably true also. Yes. But I want to put a little note in there that says, look, you could be in trouble from the people who want to get rid of you now because they know that you're reading my stuff. So, like I said to everybody in court, I said, you're all working for the wrong team. All that talent's going to waste. You should be working for us. We need a justice, right? There's three of them in the country and they travel. So we were going to fly them in and pay to put them up and stuff. But we got one in town. He may not be getting, all that profit from all the bonds and stuff that they securitize and tranche and sell on international markets. But, it's a crack in their armor, perhaps, a salvageable person, a salvageable man. But, yeah, I think, and thank you guys very much. It is really scary. This is not what I had planned. I'm nervous enough when I'm building a dance club, but this really is mind-blowing, and I appreciate your help.
I want to acknowledge you, Dave, for the work you're putting into this. I mean, obviously, your neck is under the boot and your ankle, too. but I really do. I'm just so impressed with all of the work you're doing. And yeah. God.
And he's got the chops for it, too.
Yeah. And the violin. Oh, God.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate all the support and all the prayers. It really makes a big difference. I feel so alone sometimes. And, you guys are there for me. So I really appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. He's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car, and he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. This is what you want, just shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air, and I fought. I swear to God. He's just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead, and then after he was down on the ground, shot him three more times.